On tonight's special episode of Sanity Lounge, the boys welcome Baltimore's own Glassfalt. Fresh off an incredible debut album release party last week at Baltimore's legendary 8x10 Club, the band lapped up the lounge with a quick lick to promote the music, jam a few tracks live, and rap with the boys.
Cool. All right, man. Welcome, Baltimore. We are here with another episode of Sanity Lounge. So I'll start off by saying Chris is our first repeat guest.
Oh, right.
He's back again with his band Glassfalt, who slams.
Just melted our faces off.
So, yeah. So, welcome, guys.
Right on. Nice to be here.
Yeah, thanks.
Let's go around the room and just do a little brief introduction of yourselves. You have Dave, Ron, Jack, Chris.
Yep.
So, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Dave, singer for Glassfalt. Met these guys, I don't know, maybe a year and a half ago, and been in music really since high school and all that, in and out of different bands, and just kind of hooked up with these guys and we're hitting it.
It works.
After watching the performance, you've got the punk, like, it's an incredible vibe. Was that always your go-to style, like that punk vibe of singing? I mean, it's great.
I honestly, no. Like, this is pretty new to me. But
wow. We talked about that at the variety show.
No.
Really?
Yeah, no, I always listened to, as a young kid, elementary school and all that, but kind of went a different direction when I got into the bands I was playing in. Just kind of a different vibe, but I guess went full circle.
Yeah, well, it works for you. I mean, it sounds very natural. It's a perfect sound for the band.
Awesome. Nice, yeah. Right. I'm having fun.
Good, yeah, it seems like it. Now let's go to Ron.
Ron, guitar player. Kind of a new guy, newcomer. Started in January. You know, been rocking ever since.
Dude, it works. I saw you guys at the first variety show.
Well, was Ron there?
No, that was great. That was about, what was that? May?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it slams.
All right. Now, Jack.
I'm a bass player. I've been playing music since I was four. Started off with drums, playing a talent show. Been playing music all my life.
Did you say started off with drums?
Did you start off with drums?
You went right to the guitar?
Yeah. Well, first of all, every nasty bass player, it seems, is originally a drummer. And that is no coincidence. And you're a nasty player. You're saucing it up. So when you said that you were a drummer, you know, I'm always like, yes.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. And then we have the illustrious Christopher Schaefer.
The real drummer.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Who is the drummer of Glassfalt, right?
Yeah. We've been working on this for a while. And it feels good to have the right people and that it's working and that we're working. And we've been putting in the time to work on our first record, which is going to be coming out in just like 2 weeks.
Yep. September 6th, you guys did a video for a song called Clam Dragger down at Lansdowne Skate Park, which is arguably Brian's skate park.
There's no argument. Really? It is my skate park. I cut that skate park for about 10 years. Now, we have a guy that helps produce the show who says it's his park, but no, it's my park. But it's an incredible video.
Oh, yeah. I love that place.
Yeah. What a great idea to film there. I mean,
it was a fun time to cook out and bunch of fun.
Yeah. And you had drones? I mean, how the heck did you get some of those shots? Like,
he was up on top of the van.
But I mean, it seemed at one point it was coming in. Like,
skating along.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible. This guy hired drone flyers and stuff. Because, he goes hard.
It was a very DIY style thing.
It looked dynamite.
Yeah. We rolled up with a grill and burgers and dogs and had a cookout. And whoever wanted to skate. And we just provided the soundtrack. It was fun.
Yeah. I was surprised we didn't get shut down.
You know,
who would have done it?
Well,
you?
No, no, it wouldn't have been us. Actually, the county is pro the park.
Right,
like,
right,
we
right.
want the park to do good and everything like that. But I kind of was thinking, I'm like, well, I guess it's okay. I mean, you know.
I don't know.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah,
it's fine.
It's fine.
Permits. Yeah. Right. Fuck it.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Music, skateboarding, you put them together.
It's over and done.
Right. Sure, sure.
It's out there now.
Now, what about that name, Clam Dragger? Can we go into that? Like, is there a story there?
It's a love song.
It is a love song. it's a term that I've heard refers to female bodyboarders.
Nice.
Clam
Dragger.
Yeah, because when he said the name, and I thought, huh, well, this got to be a
so there's
story.
A surfing reference there.
Interesting. Right. I dig that. All right. All right.
Now, what about the name Glassfault? Where did that come from?
That came from when you're going up Charles Street in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And it's it's a amalgamation of glass and asphalt put together, and it makes the street glimmer.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
And so kind of thought it was like sort of fits the sound of the band of like kind of raw and refined.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, it's a great name, dude. Like I told you before, the name is fucking fantastic.
Thank you.
And the cuts you guys just played.
Yeah,
we're
we started off with Protect and Serve, so tell us, let's go into that song a little bit.
Lyric-wise, it's sort of just like my own interpretation of the state of America, really. I mean, it's not supposed to be political, it's just kind of my thoughts about what I'm seeing on TV and everything around town, really.
Down to 7-11. Oh,
It's a hell of a statement song. Like, you can tell, and the vibe of the band is perfect for that statement, if you will.
Yeah, we want to be fun. We don't want to be political or anything like that, or, you know, just, you know, trying to state what we think.
I dig that. Now, what's
do you write all the lyrics?
I do, yeah.
Really? Interesting. So, mm-hmm. And then as far as the music, is that just a straight collaboration?
No, actually, Jack's been... he's been the one that had been, he was writing the songs, and I've been playing with Jack for a long time.
Right.
And we had a bunch of other people we were jamming with and everything, and then he had like a dozen songs or something like that, right? He had a dozen songs that he would program the drums to, play bass and guitar to, and there was no vocals on there. And I talked to him about... a year and a half ago or something like that, because we had a bunch of different people we were playing with and everything started falling apart, and I said to him, I was like, why don't I play drums on the stuff that you're doing, and why don't you play bass on some stuff that I want to do, because I like playing drum and bass music and stuff like that, and we never kind of got around to that because this started working. And so originally it was just going to be, I was going to play drums on his stuff, see what was going to happen, and then like the next day I looked on Craigslist and found a guitarist and found a second guitarist, and it didn't work out with those guys. But then we had found Dave, and then we found Ron, and it was like finally found the four, because this configuration of the band has only been since the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Right.
You said January.
Yeah.
Right. Mean, come a long way.
Dude, he
short amount of time.
Ron learned, he learned three of the songs in
like 2 days.
Came in and knew three songs, and I was like, okay, we're not
for the audition.
Yeah, it was the old Rolling Stone gathers no moss. We kept rocking.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, and we had a show that like 3 weeks later, and he had to learn the balance of the songs, and it was just like second nature to him. So we found our guy.
Yeah.
Dude, he came in ripping Van Halen solos, and we were like, all right.
He plays Eruption like nobody's business, really? But you got to really coax it out of him.
Yeah, you do.
I can tell, you know, when you were warming up, he was, you know, just tickling all over the place. You can tell what kind of player he is. It's good stuff, man.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah, well, so your process usually is you come to the table with lyrics, but you have a plethora of material you can pull from to then adhere your lyric to, basically, is what we're talking
pretty much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Jack brings it all to the table, like, you know, all the arrangement, and kind of passed it off to me, and I have a little, not this setup, but a little studio at home where I just kind of like work on the lyrics and the patterns and what the song feels like to me, and send it back, and then he's like yay or nay, and usually it's yay.
So you also said you haven't really done this style. So are you just using, I mean, with your lyrics, what do you write them as? And then are you just changing them up?
It's so funny because, like, I'm very, like I said before, like, started as a drummer. So I'm very rhythmic in the way I think about lyrics and patterns. So I'll just do, I call them scat tracks. I don't know what you would call them normally, but just like sounds or just patterns or just like, without lyrics. Mm-hmm. And then I just kind of like sit and listen to that for a while and figure out what's working, what's not. And if it's working, I'll start trying to write, you know, melodies and words around it.
Yeah, I've heard that process before. Like, not many times, but that's interesting. Like, that you know what, did Melissa? I don't know, but I've heard that kind of process of, like, you kind of scat it out.
Yeah.
So you feel the vibe of it, and then you go, you at least can tell how to place the lyrics or something.
Yeah, well, I think it's so important in just, like, such high-energy music like we play. It's just, like, you want it to be aggressive enough, like you don't want to be too melodic, like you just want it to, you there, like I said, like when I started, it was like I want to use a lot of consonants, I want to use a lot of like K's and P's and, you know, T's.
That's interesting,
you know what I mean?
Yeah
And I think that's one of the things that kind of sets us apart from a lot of the acts that we see in around town too, is, you know, that, you know, from a punk rock standpoint, coming hard and not screaming, you know. You know, the song, every song, because we went through a couple when we were doing auditions for singers, You know, a few of the people were, you know, the sound started to sound the same from a screaming aspect. And what we were looking for was a little something with a little more like a melodic nature type of sound. And Dave,
storyteller,
brought that to the table.
And it's musicality or something like that. Because I know what you're saying. It's like there is a style of scream rock, which is great, you know. But that's not what we're doing here, you know. And this is more punk roots type thing, which is a different vibe than just screaming. So, you nail it right, man.
Well, I told him straight up in the first couple auditions we were playing, I was like, well, if you want a screamer, I'm not it.
Yeah.
Like, so just don't run out. Yeah.
Yeah. First time after that first audition, I heard it, I was sold.
I bet.
Yeah, I can respect that.
Now, this next title.
I don't know if we got the whole title yet.
Yeah, I mean, as I'm writing it, he was still talking, but it says Dead End in My Rearview Mirror. But I think it was even longer than that.
No, right? It's not. I was joking.
This guy, all of a sudden, I'm writing real quick. I'm like, huh. Okay.
I'm going to shorthand it.
First of all, all of these titles are incredible, and Dead End in my Rearview Mirror is wonderful. Is there any, what's the tale there? Is there?
I have a 18-year-old who is truly punk, right? So got in his car one day, I was just moving it, and one of his friends, I guess, in his rearview mirror was all fogged up and said Dead End. I was like, oh, man, I wonder what that story is. So I made one up.
That's awesome.
It works.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Wasn't it also about stealing my car? Wasn't it about stealing my?
Well, it's part of it is about. Well, so no. When I saw your car, I was like, I gotta write a song about that car.
Now hold on a second. Did you just say when I stole your car?
No. When he saw it.
When I saw it. Okay. Which
I
one?
Saying, when I stole your car, I was like, whoa, okay.
So you've seen a practice space. I don't know. You've been there. Yeah, yeah, like yeah. He, you know, he's got this Camaro and,
right,
and
right.
He's pulled right in. The first time I saw it, I was like, oh man,
it's here now.
This is the greatest place to play in the world. Like, I get to look at this car and sing, and these guys are great. And I was like, that car is going to be in a song.
Nice.
That's awesome. It is like a Graceland, you know, like that.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Christopher Schaefer, Clothier, incredible.
And then Needles in Your Face, that was the next song.
Yeah, now, first of all, that song is in my head. It's got a hook, baby. Yeah. I dig that song, but explain, is that heroin needles or what are we talking needles?
No, no, it's, and it may be why we lost the first two first two guitarists in our band.
Oh, okay.
That's quite controversial.
It was a little bit controversial. I don't know. I guess they didn't like the lyrics. Whatever.
Oh, is that right? Okay, the actual...
I mean, we had... There was a discussion. I don't want to go into it, okay. Like, you know, but...
sure, sure.
So, no, it's not about heroin. I don't want to write about drugs. So, it's honestly about vanity and Botox.
Yeah.
Wow.
Started as Botox.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I was thinking voodoo. You know, like
so. I was just messing with you.
I know. When he said that, I'm going, I'm over there thinking to get like needles in the face. Like, huh. That's good stuff. And then my personal favorite, Elmer Weaver.
I mean, I like the name.
Cause he don't learn his lesson. Always focus as a matter of fact. Cause he don't use expression. Grape soda dripping from his cap. Cause he tried to dye his hair with a Kool-Aid pack. 19 he left the high school scene. He got the job and the market keep the grocery store clean. Don't listen to a word they're saying. They're on the passes anyway. But in his mind he's got some related. The consequence of doing time. Whoa. You want it, you got it. Whoa. So now you got it all. Whoa. You want it, you got it. Whoa. And kick me out the door. He beat the drum behind the produce store. Cause he's packing all the goodies. The boss caught it down on the floor with a mouth full of woody. Shouted, what is this, some kind of porno flick? Busted up the party like a pickled ass dick. Elmer Weaver wouldn't deal with that. He cocked his elbow back and made the manager out black. Don't listen to a word they're saying. They're all just bastards anyway. But in his mind he's got to blame it. The consequence of doing time. Whoa. You want it, you got it. Whoa, so now you got it all. Whoa, you want it, you got it. Whoa, what keeps me at the door. Whoa, you want it, you got it. Whoa, so now you got it all. Whoa, you want it, you got it. Whoa, and keeps me at the door.
Somebody say something about him being a teacher.
No. He's a high school student at one point. Student. In the song. Yeah.
And then he evolves.
He evolves. Yeah. He becomes a Hindu religious leader.
So what was the story behind the name, if there is one?
That's interesting because where I work, we were just kind of talking one day with some colleagues, and one of them said, like, I had this friend named Elmer Weaver, and man, he sung like an angel. And I was like, okay, what is that story? So I was like, all right, I'll make up another story about Elmer Weaver. And
nice.
That's how it came about.
Yeah, that's nothing like the Woolly Swamp. I don't know why that kept
popping. That's so funny. Larry Davis, we're a bit loony, but when you said the name Elmer Weaver, he's like, that makes me think of Charlie Daniels' Legend of Woolly Swamp. He goes, I don't know why.
So I said, oh. We have an inside joke. It's we call it Earl Weaver's illegitimate son.
That's so Baltimore. I love that. Yeah, that's good stuff. I mean, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's got a story to it, and we're going to be shooting a video for it soon.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
So it's next on our list.
Yeah, you guys are on point, man. It's like it's coming out, and the cuts thus far that I've heard are awesome.
Yeah.
I mean,
and it's a solid record.
What's the title
songs.
Of the record?
Yeah, I was just going to ask.
Self-titled. Self-titled, yeah. 12 songs.
12 songs, yeah. So it's where we did a couple hundred copies of vinyl that's
going to be
gorgeous.
Sweet.
It looks like your lava lamp kind of purple. It's awesome. So, we're stoked. We're going to be doing 8x10 on the 6th, and it should be a really good show.
I think, I'm going to be there. Inslee's going to be there.
Nice, nice. And then, of course, we got gifted a skateboard deck with the Glass Vault logo.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, so kids listening...
We asked for a sticker.
There's very hip Glass Vault merch out there. Good. Like, once it's out there, it's very hip.
We got some cool stuff that's being printed up that will be ready in time with the album cover art and everything like that. So I'm pretty stoked on the merch that we have going on and the quality that we put into what we did as far as taking the time to record it, because we were very fortunate to be able to record it at my shop in my garage.
Wow.
But with a whole Pro Tools rig and great microphones, and then Jack really put some time into mixing it, and then we mastered the record with AI, which was just kind of mind blowing to me.
And it works.
It works great.
Yeah. It's great. It's really good.
Yeah.
That seems to be the report. Unfortunately, awesome. Or fortunately,
you recorded the album in the garage.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Well, we recorded it kind of like we did in here.
Yeah.
Where we played live with headphones on,
right?
And then so we would have a vocal track to work off of. Is that Dave was inside of my van that was parked in the garage. So
that's
that
so
his
funny.
So and he had it like lit up. So
there are pictures out there.
So we could see him as we're so it would feel and sound live, and then they went back over and use those as scratch tracks and everything and went back over with. But it's a punchy record. It sounds good.
The songs sounded dynamite. Even Clam Dragger, Clam Digger, Clam,
Clam Dragger.
We never got to that one. We never
But the YouTube, the, clip, the video, it's it sounds great. I mean, it's good.
Thank
stuff.
You.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
Definitely.
We put a lot of work in.
That's wonderful. So
we were kind of over the winter. We were spending a lot of time over the winter, kind of holing up, and then I got to tip my hat to Jack. I mean, he did a lot of work on the mixing.
It seems Jack is the MVP. Not that
nobody's
better than the other here, okay? We're all equal.
We're nothing without Jack.
Yeah. At Sanity Lounge, we're all equals.
Oh, yeah.
But Jack seems to be, clutch here. I mean,
100%.
I write the songs. I've been recording music and recording my own songs, original songs, forever, and it just came natural.
That's wonderful.
Well, he's got a studio at home, and that's the thing is like, and now with the technology that's out there, being able to just send song ideas and, hey, what do you think of this? And then the way I described it is he was writing this framework of these songs, and then we would kind of humanize them. That's the way I thought about it.
That's
as a drummer.
Awesome.
He's programming the drums, and I wasn't trying to play exactly what he laid down. I was trying to find the feel for it, but it worked. And then having Ron come in and be able to learn where we were and kind of take it from there. But yeah, we've been putting in some work, and we've been playing some good gigs too. We've
I saw
got,
that.
Yeah, we've got a chance to play some good gigs already before we even put a record out. So
yeah, you were at the Auto Bar not long ago too.
Yeah, we just did Auto Bar. We're playing on the 14th of September at the Aberdeen Skate Park too. They're having it's really fun to play when people are skateboarding right in front of you. That's great.
That's cool.
It's super fun. We're doing that and then going to Diamondback Brewery. We're playing that evening, so it's a doubleheader for us.
Damn.
Nice.
Is that up that way? Diamondback?
No, that's in Federal Hill, Locust Point area.
Diamondback? Yeah, I haven't heard of that brewery.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, that's awesome. Yeah well, so is there any other thing you want to talk about with the album before I switch topics briefly?
I think we covered think we covered all the bases as far as
where
we are with that.
Wonderful. So I've already asked Chris this because he was a return, you know, he's a return contestant, but I like to
his
ask
his answer may have changed though at this point.
Maybe, but I like to ask all of the guests, if you have a favorite movie, can you give me your top three, roughly, favorite movies, if you have one?
Top three favorite movies?
Yes, sir.
Holy moly.
Now, if you're not a movie cat, you can say you're not a movie guy, you don't have them, you know, if it's like that. Like, I don't want to put you on the spotlight. We like to be relaxed here at Sanity Lounge, you know what I'm saying?
I like so many movies.
Okay. So you are a movie cat. You just can't narrow it down.
So So this is a very, I don't want to say underrated, but unknown movie, I think. It's called Razor's Edge.
Yeah. Bill Murray.
Yes. Early film. And it's about the war.
His
sort of journey through life. And it's philosophical at times. It's a little bit funny at times. It's serious at times, but I don't know. I just have always gravitated toward it. I love it.
Incredible. See, I love this. Is why we do this here. Now, this cat. Now, I'm a cinephile, but Razor's Edge is it's based on a very philosophical book.
Right.
It's a very unknown, underrated Bill Murray performance that in '84, I think, is when it came out. And when it came out, I think people thought he lost his mind because it's a very serious performance.
Yes.
So those listening, you know, this cat, what a great pull, baby. This is why I'm doing it. But, I mean, so is there any others you want to throw out there?
Let me think about it. You can go around.
Sure.
Yeah. Ron, what do you got?
I don't know. I mean, I guess more like a Pulp Fiction.
Oh, there we go.
Yes. This is my guy. I love Ron.
I mean, I'm a sci-fi geek, so I like Star Wars
stuff.
You're
in the right place for that, too.
Predator,
yeah. I like Predator stuff.
Nice. So you're a sci-fi cat, and Pulp Fiction always gets respect here at Sanity Lounge. In fact, that was in my top on episode one, you know. So that's good stuff. Any other mentions you want to give there, Ron?
Full Metal Jacket's a good one.
Kubrick. We were just discussing Kubrick outside. Yeah. That's wonderful. That's a good list.
Yeah, that Full Metal Jacket's great because it's technically two movies.
It is. Yeah. It's like the beginning hour is so intense in a weird way, and then the last hour and a half is intense in a war way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And the last hour and a half doesn't even have Arlie Army in it.
I know. How about that? And his performance was so astounding. Yeah. He made a career out of it.
That's a good one.
God love him. Jack, MVP, what do you got movie-wise?
I would say two of them kind of really shook me as a kid. And still to this day, I still kind of, you know, still like the movies. I would say the first one was The Day After, which was like a nuclear war type of, you know, back in the 80s when we were dealing with the Cold War, you know, it was something that really, you know, you never knew it within 10 minutes, you know. And The Exorcist, I think that really scared the hell out of me growing up as a kid seeing that. Well, some of the recent ones, not a big fan of the recent movies, but I'd say Saving Private Ryan was really one that
really
spectacular. Yeah, yeah, spectacular piece of art. Yeah. That day after thing, that, do you remember that?
I don't, Chris, I don't think so. I don't think I remember it.
No.
It was in the 80s, early 80s, day after. I think it was a television movie.
Yeah.
It was like a two-night event. And it was like, it was a who's who. It was like John Lithgow and all these cats. But it was the first time, it was kind of like War of the Worlds. Like when they premiered it on television, the nation, like the depression in the nation went down. Like everybody got depressed. People were
after they saw this.
Yeah, like the movie affected the psyche of the nation. Like
when did it come out? How
it was old? I think it was like 84 or 85 or something.
No,
like
I don't remember.
But
that.
If you look into it and read about it, like it was a serious, like it was like it caused serious problems. People started freaking out because they're watching this, you know, this what if, I guess, type thing. Mm-hmm. And it was like a War of the Worlds scenario. Like after they watched it, people started really panicking. And like, you know, but if you watch it now.
I'm intrigued. Now I gotta,
well, if you watch it nowadays, keep in mind, it is a television movie. So it's like.
It's like The Langoliers.
Well, yeah, it is.
It's good, but bad.
Yeah, it is exactly that. Now, I haven't watched it in years, so I don't really remember if it's film or video.
Right.
But those old early TV movies were a lot of times video, but this one might have been filmed.
No, I'll check that out. I like John Lithgow.
Yeah, yeah. It was an all-star cast. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, and hearing that 1 o'clock whistle, right?
Well, right. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I just know that that whole thing affected a lot of people, you know. Yeah. I, like I said, it's been a minute since I've seen it. I don't even know if you can, I guess you could find it on YouTube like that. Yeah, but I don't know if I've ever actually seen it at a video store, like with video stores.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't tell you a cover or anything.
Yeah, like, that's wild. Yeah. And Exorcist, the feel-good movie of the century, baby. Yeah. Like, you know, it's like, you can't go wrong with that.
My 15-year-old son decided to watch that with his friends with my 10-year-old son.
That might be
like halfway through before my wife figured out what was going on. It was like, no.
Right.
That's a gutsy.
With no context, he was just like, let's just watch this movie.
That's what older brothers do, right?
Yeah, sure. It's a rite of passage. Although The Exorcist, baby, like, man. That was an intense.
Yeah, that'd be a rough one.
Yeah, that is in my top.
What did we just watch? Garrett watched Insidious. Lincoln wouldn't watch it because he gets scared. He's my youngest, but Garrett's 13. Insidious, he wasn't too. He was more scared of
Insidious.
It than he
was well
on.
Done. Yeah, Insidious was a well done horror movie for most people. Yeah. Chris, you got any film you want to add from the last time? Or
man, I think I said Fantastic Mr.
You
Fox.
Did.
You did. You know, and Caddyshack.
Like, that is up there. E.T. and
that's two for E.T.
Yeah. And Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Spicoli was the North Star there for a long time.
Sure, sure.
Now I find myself saying, I'm like, I've switched from being Jeff Spicoli to being Mr. Hand.
Absolutely. Your philosophy has changed at this point.
You just can't deal with stupid. Can't deal with stupidity. That's Boss Hogg.
Oh, I mean, come on now. It's like, well, that's TV. But
we're
still
very hip here. Yeah.
Boss Hogg was a good character.
Chris, but that makes me think about Cannonball Run.
Oh my god, I love Cannonball.
There were so many
Run.
Great lines in
Smokey
that.
And the Bandit. That's Smokey some of my favorite.
Exactly. Yeah.
There is no character greater than Sheriff Buford T. Justice. There
so
really
great
isn't.
Lines.
Oh my god, man.
The name alone is phenomenal.
Buford T. Justice. That's my brother's dog's name. His bulldog's name is Buford.
That's so funny. It's so Ralph. One other 80s reference here in Action Figureville, if, for those who will get it, Calibus from Clash of the Titans.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember Clash of the Titans?
I don't know.
Wow, nobody.
So I get all my, like, so.
Sucks.
So these toys here, these figures, were given to me by Chris's brother-in-law, actually, who's a friend of ours from high school. And I actually have all Chris's, like, 1977, 80, 83 Kenner figures. Like, his sister found them in his dad's attic and was like, do you want these? And Chris was like, I don't want those. So she called me and gave them all to me in a Darth Vader case. I have all these figures. It's filled. Some of them, and I like, 3 months after I had it, I finally was like, let me look at these. And I opened up the little weapons case, and all the weapons are in there.
Wow.
Like, they're complete figures.
Nice. Yeah, they're all in pristine condition. Like, yeah. It's good shit. It's not like she was playing with them or anything.
No, she had them piled in the garage and said, come get them.
It's wonderful.
The Ewok
stuff.
Village, oh, an X-Wing.
Yeah. I know, I'm kind of pissed.
A cloud car from Cloud City, she gave me that. And then her husband, these are all his. But I'm like, I open these up, I'm like, Calibus, Frankenstein, Boss Hog? Like, what is all this stuff?
Boss Hog is great.
Yeah, it's awesome. I have Bo and Luke, too.
Well, but where I had are to bring, they? Yeah, we
and Roscoe was missing a hand. But I have them all.
That's so funny, dude. All right, Ward Davis, you got any?
No, man, it's this was fucking great.
Yeah, you guys fucking rocked.
I can't wait for everybody to see this. Right. Just before we do wrap up, like, throw out everything, websites, how to find you.
Sure.
Best place to get schedules, which we're working on something with that too.
Right. Best place is to go to glassfault.net. It's where you're going to be able to find a website with links to the socials and everything is probably the easiest way to go and find us. glassphalt.net.
Yep. Right. And I'll have links. We'll have links on social media. We'll have links on the YouTube video, Spotify, Apple, everywhere.
Yeah, that's awesome.
In the description. Yep.
Yeah, and wait till you see the performance. I mean, like, the songs it's are fucking one. Great.
Yeah.
And they're thanks, Baltimore's own Glass Fault. Yep. Yeah. You know, it's the shit. I'm happy to know you guys. I'm happy you guys are here.
Actually, before we wrap up, where's everybody from?
Baltimore.
Yeah. Everybody's yeah. Baltimore natives.
Right.
Yeah. Awesome.
Jack.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice. So one thing, like our logo, that was done by a friend of mine. Everything's local. Our theme music that you'll hear is Brian's and his cousin's band, Grave Diggers Biscuits, which they just get.
We'll be on.
Yeah,
later.
They're working on new music right now with, oh God, have you guys ever heard of a band called From the Hills?
Yes.
Yeah.
An Iron Boss.
Yeah. So Chris Roden, the lead singer of that band is their new lead singer. Yeah. Wow. And he's got new material and new music, and I can't wait to hear it. I love From the Hills.
Yeah.
We're Carroll County guys, and that band's from Frizzleburg, right between Westminster and Tawnytown.
That album came out God. We were in high school.
Dude,
I
let my wife hear that album, and she was she's not into that at all, and she was like, this is fantastic.
I was seeing those guys at Memory Lane way back when. Yeah,
oh, man. Yeah. The full album's on Spotify right now.
Yeah,
it says it's from like 2014 or something. I'm like, nah.
Well, look, anyway, I'm glad you guys came in. I'm happy to know you, and you know, you guys rule, and stay sane, Baltimore.
Yep, awesome.
Appreciate it.
Fantastic.
Thanks for listening, Baltimore. You can find us at www.sanitylounge.com. or on Instagram at sanity.lounge.
Keep listening and subscribe.
Stay sane, Baltimore.